Welcome to the
Free Attic
Podcast. Please welcome your host for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Carr.
I am Dynasty Outhouse and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Andrew Harbaugh, and I have lots of problems, but my biggest one is I have a trading problem.
Well, it's good to know that of all your problems, we are your worst or biggest or the best. Let's just say it. So Andrew was nice enough to grace us with his presence after we were canceled on at the last second and rescued by this wonderful, wonderful man.
Thank my wife.
Thank you, Andrew's wife. So we are now into session 29 of the Trade Addicts podcast. Welcome. Thank you for joining. We are going to do a bit of a look back on the season so far, because we're sort of halfway through the fantasy season, even though we're not really halfway through the real season. Fantasy is all that matters. So first, let's do our little meet and greet. Oh, wow. Look how Andrew's like new to the podcasting game and he actually mutes himself when he's not talking. That's how good he is. And that's how professional we are not, Brian. All right. So, Andrew, why don't you tell these fine people who you are and what you do?
My name's Andrew Harbaugh. My Twitter handle is at @DHH_Mandrew. I am a writer for Dynasty Happy Hour. We are recording our first episode. Me and at FF Peebles are recording our first episode of the Devi Owner's Manual, a branch off of the Dynasty Owner's Manual from Chris and Adam's pod. And I've just gone into this really full bore this past summer and have had a blast since.
Yeah, I remember like 2 days after finding out who Andrew actually was on Twitter, and he's like, "Hey man, you want to put me on your podcast?" I'm like, "I mean, sure, why not?" And then completely forgot about it. And then he was on Dynasty Owner's Manual, which if you haven't listened, should absolutely go listen to. I was like, "Man, you exist. You were on a podcast. You're supposed to be on mine." And now magically here he is. So let's tell the people why they should be trusting you. How long have you been playing fantasy football?
So I had to look that up right beforehand to get an exact year for you guys. So I've been playing it since 2004. So I was 10 years old when I did my first league.
He's really young.
I just turned 24. Only reason I remember that is because my first two picks were Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens, because I was an Eagles fan at the time. So I've been doing fantasy for quite a while.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you're considerably younger than me, but have been playing fantasy for longer. So I guess
it's my grandfather's fault.
Thank you, grandfather.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So now, how long have you been playing Dynasty for?
This is my first year of Dynasty, ironically.
Nice.
I've got two leagues I'm in. Both are, one's a total rebuild and one's just a, close to a rebuild.
I might as well start with the fun stuff. But clearly you're doing a Devasty. Wow. There you go. New phrase for Devi Dynasty.
Devasty. Trademark it.
There you go. Trademark. Clearly you've been into college football for a while. So you have sort of the life cycle of football in your head already. So, I feel like jumping into Dynasty from redraft isn't that big of a deal for you.
No, it's not. And ironically enough, the reason I've always been so into college football is my same grandfather who got me into football in the first place, fantasy-wise. He was in a dynasty league with his buddies that they had been doing for so long. They were doing pen and paper for scorekeeping before. And my grandfather can't stand college football, but I always liked it. So I would always tell him who to draft in his rookie drafts.
Cool.
And the one argument we ever had, and I told this, I can't remember what pod it was, it might have been Dynasty Owner's Manual. I had an argument with my grandfather over Chris Johnson, I said to draft, and he wanted to draft Limus Sweet.
Who?
Ooh.
Exactly.
Limus freaking Sweet.
He's a Steelers fan, so he was all about him.
I forgot about that guy.
But needless to say, I want him a
chance. That guy couldn't catch a cold, man.
All right. So I know it's your first year in Dynasty, but like you said, many problems, biggest one being a trading problem. Why don't you give us some of the best and worst trades you've done, especially since you're rebuilding, so you should have some good ones.
Yeah, I would say the one where I have a complete rebuild, I have my running backs. I've been starting. I do have Ito Smith in that league, so my league got a little bit better today, which I'm sure we'll dive into. But the guy who was in first place, he messaged me saying he needed a flex spot. And he said, no offense, I see you're in last place. What do you need? Mm-hmm. And I go, well, I need draft capital and I need something I could build on. He's like, well, you're a Browns fan. So he's like, would you want Chubb for Larry Fitzgerald straight up?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And please. I said, yeah, I'm down to that. I said, but can you throw me any draft capital? And he's like, yeah, well, what about a third? And I go, well, you're in first. I said, and you want the championship. And I said, I think I have that key. I said, so why don't you give me Chubb and a first for Larry Fitzgerald? And he's like, okay, fine, I'll do it. So I did that earlier. Wow.
Yeah, wow. Dude, the cojones on you for asking him to add to Nick Chubb. That's
I blame Dynasty Scout.
Wow. For you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's an awesome deal for you.
That's probably my favorite one I've made this year.
Understandably so.
Yeah. That was made the week before Chubb had the 3 carries for 100 some yards and the 2 touches too.
Man, I hope that guy felt dumb, especially with how nothing Fitzgerald's doing. So that is awesomely awesome. Hopefully you have something a little the opposite of that, which is terribly terrible.
Sure.
I'd probably say the worst one I've made was I traded Kenny Golladay and a 2019 second, and I bid into all the training camp hype, and I traded Golladay and a 2019 second straight up for Anthony Miller.
Don't get me wrong, I love Anthony Miller, but
I'm a moron.
As long as you can say it, I'll say it. Yeah, that was
it's bad, but there's a learning thing for sure.
Oh, we've all gone through that. All right, that's cool. All right, so clearly you've accepted some trades. You've proposed some trades. What's your guiding principle that you bring along with you into all of those?
I want something at least. I don't like doing one player for one player because usually there's not enough there that I can lean back on. So I usually like going for something I can build on in the future and then something that helps me now. So I always like moving around picks. I like moving around younger players. And part of that might be because I'm so much more into the college football. I have more faith in people before they completely fall off the map. I have in my one rebuild for the Dynasty Happy Hour League, I have 3 2020 seconds already stockpiled for that running back class.
That class is going to be real nice.
And I'm going to need it.
Yeah, especially with your rebuild, by then is when you're going to start wanting running backs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, nice to meet you, Andrew. Thank you for letting these people a little into your persona, if you will. So let's get into the news of the week. Everybody sort of got hurt this week. I think it'd be easier to list the people that didn't, but we're still not going to do that. The important injuries are, from what they tell me before I started recording, Cooper Kupp is missing at least 1 week and maybe missing multiple because he sprained his MCL. Is that what it was?
That's what I was saying. He's going to be week to week.
Right. And I mean, OJ Howard missed 1 week technically, even though it was his bye week. So yeah, I would imagine Kupp's missing at least one, even though Engram's missed what, 3 so far.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I doubt you're doing much action on that news. But Devontae Freeman to the injured reserve. There's a lot to go on that one. Are you buying Devontae Freeman? Are you a believer in who he is or where he's going to be? Or are you buying into Tevin Coleman or our man Ito Smith, who has 3 touchdowns in 3 weeks? I believe it is. Andrew, who's your favorite of all of that?
I like Coleman a lot. I like Ito as well. I saw somebody on Twitter referring to him as Judge Ito. So yeah. I fully endorse that nickname.
You were born in the year to actually understand that.
I was, yes. I would buy in both Ito and Coleman. I think both are going to be able to produce. I think if you have to pick one, I would put my money on Coleman at this point, just because he has the track record.
Yeah, and I mean, I saw Graham Barfield tweet out that even when Freeman is out the past few games, they haven't been using Coleman as a workhorse, and I'm completely fine with that. I mean, if anything, I want Coleman to stay healthy this year to go be a free agent somewhere nice next year and increase his value even more. Brian, how do you feel about this whole situation?
Yeah, similar to Andrew. You know, I like both of these guys. I don't really expect Coleman's role to change. I mean, I think Ito is the one that benefits from this the most. You know, he's probably going to step right into the Freeman role. So, you know, I don't really expect Coleman to pick up a lot or get much of a boost from this. You know, that whole situation has been a little bit interesting this year with Tevin. I know, you know, a bunch of us, myself included, are very high on him and excited about him moving on, right? Yep. Or them or Atlanta moving on from Freeman.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. As you brought that up in the one of the first things we did was free agents at the end of the year. You said you dropped the bomb of maybe they move on from Freeman and use Coleman, and this actually makes that seem like it could be more of a reality.
Right. Now, unfortunately, I think if that happens, I don't think Coleman is going to be valued any differently than he has been recently. I mean he's produced. He's, you know, he's been a running back too here in the last several years in that split role. But if he stays in Atlanta now because they decide they want to move on from Freeman, I think it's going to be the same exact thing, except with Ito Smith being Devonta Freeman, essentially.
So the mystique of a new team is what really raises his value.
Yeah, I really believe that. I mean, I think if he goes somewhere where he's going to be more of a workhorse, you know, I would love, as a Steelers fan, I would love to see him in Pittsburgh. Now, I don't think he's coming here to be a workhorse either, the way James Conner's played while Bell's been out. But I would still, you know, I would still like that. But yeah, I mean, if he goes somewhere where he's going to be a workhorse back and the clear number one, I think his value will shoot up just like everyone kind of expected it to or is expecting it to. But if he ends up staying in Atlanta, you know, I don't really see it changing a whole lot for him. As far as, you know, his opportunity share. So, again, for me, I guess Ito is the one that gets the boost here by Freeman going down. And to be honest, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Freeman moving forward here, because, you know, the concussions are an issue. He's, you know, the other injuries are becoming an issue now. So, and he's going to be 27 years old, which is not ancient. But it's
his running style makes it a little bit of a issue.
Right. So it'll be interesting to watch this one for sure.
Yeah. All three of those guys seem to be talented backs. So I think they will carry some value no matter what really plays out in this situation. I don't think I'm acting on any of this. I was trying to buy Ito up everywhere before something like this happened. But now I don't think it'll be worth to pay what people are going to expect, because everyone is going to be the next workhorse in Atlanta at this point. So if you got them, good for you. If not, sorry. next bit of news. The NFL is mimicking our dynasty websites and putting players on the trading block on trade bait. Amari Cooper is on trade bait for the Oakland Raiders. Now, chances are absolutely nothing comes of this, but, you know, we're trade addicts. We like to talk about trades. Where do you guys think the best place for Amari Cooper to end up could be? Andrew, you always talk first because you're the guest.
Okay. Sorry, I was just trying to be polite for you guys.
Yeah, screw that.
I'll give my place where I want him and where I think if he goes anywhere he would end up.
Love it.
I want him to go to Cleveland, obviously, because apparently no one there can catch a ball lately, and I think
you think Cooper can catch a ball.
I mean, I'm open to new faces. we're accepting applications. How good the applications are is up to the applicants, but I'll take anybody at this point. I don't see that happening the way Dorsey values draft picks. They don't have two ones to play with this year. And then as far as where I think he'll go, and this is a dark horse place, I feel like, because I haven't really heard it mentioned anywhere, I can see him going to Green Bay. Ooh. Because everyone's hurt right now. They got the rookies in, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers trusts his rookie receivers as much. And they have Cobb, who's been hurt on and off all year, and I have him in a couple weeks, so I know that. Mm-hmm. And they have the second first to play with. Mm-hmm. So they could do that, still maintain a first pick in the draft while improving the receiving core with a younger guy.
Sorry.
Cobb's older, so pair him up with Devontae Adams, and I think they'd be solid for a while.
Love it. My two favorite things I've heard are Indianapolis and Dallas. Indianapolis I love because it will give Amari the chance to really be a wide receiver two type player, with assuming T.Y. ever gets healthy again. And because Andrew Luck throws the ball 50 times, so, you know, Cooper will get his targets. And even though it's probably like a 46% catch rate, you know, 46% of like 80 is still in the upper 30s. So there you go. I almost did math, you guys. And also in Dallas, they need a wide receiver, and he kind of fits their style of play. And I think Gallup and Hearns would also work better in a system where neither of them need to be the guy, because neither of them are the guy kind of guys. So I love, those are both of, wow, words. I like both of those landing spots for Cooper if this were to actually happen. And we know Jerry Jones is insane, so he might try something like this. And I mean, new GM in Indianapolis, maybe he wants the fans to be happy, so he goes and gets Luck that weapon that, you know, no one else has actually tried to get him since T.Y. Hilton. So I would love both of those. Brian, what's your ideas?
Yeah, I think Dallas is definitely a fit. And I think Jerry's the most likely to do something like that. You know, he doesn't give a rat's behind about draft picks. He cares about making splashes and getting big name players. So, you know, I could definitely see Jerry Jones saying, hey, let's go try to do this thing. And it should help that offense too. I mean, Cooper would immediately become the best receiver on that team. You know, so I definitely could see that one happening. The other place I don't think that they are in a position to go after him either, but a place I think he'd be a good fit could potentially be San Francisco as far as playing goes. Move him across the bay there, and you know, I think he'd fit in well there. But I you know, again, the Niners are so bad so many places, I think, you know, for them to give up draft capital, that's probably not happening. So
they're probably using their first pick on a wide receiver this year anyway.
Well, that's, yeah, and that's a fair point. You know, so if that's the case, then who knows? Maybe they will make a run for him. I don't know. But I think Dallas is the you know, the first team that pops into your head when you hear Cooper's on the block. It's like, oh, well, who needs a receiver? Well, Dallas needs a receiver, right? So mm-hmm. I think that would be probably the best, you know, the most likely to happen. I'd love to see him in Green Bay. I mean, that would be awesome.
Him with Rodgers, I think, would just be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm speechless.
So dynasty trade value on Amari Cooper is all over the place right now. Are you using this as a buying or a selling opportunity on him, or are you just hands off Amari at this point?
I said before the year on Top Dog, we did an AFC West thing. I said, I'm selling everyone on Oakland as long as John Gruden's the coach, mm-hmm. just because you don't know what's going to happen. The game against the Browns, Jared Cook looked like Calvin Johnson that whole game. And then Derek Carr turns into Tom Brady going down with a 2-minute drill with no timeouts. And then the next week they're looking like the O and whatever Raiders all over again. So I think until he knows what he wants with the players he wants is all set, I'm staying away.
So this is, it's interesting you brought Carr up there. So this is one of those scenarios where stats lie. Okay. Derek Carr on the season is completing 72% of his passes.
Wow.
He's averaging 297 yards a game. That's like 4,700 passing yards.
Wow.
Over 16 games. I mean, that's insane.
And is that including the Seattle game where he threw like 18 yards?
That is including the Seattle game. He's had
how many games went to overtime?
So listen to this. Seriously, though. Well, the problem with the Seattle game was it was 4.6 yards per attempt. So I think he threw like two passes beyond the 10-yard mark or something like that. It was insane. But he still completed 74% of his passes that day, 23 of 31. I mean, that's insane.
This past week, I saw all over Twitter, I don't know if you guys saw his passing chart from last week.
Yeah. And he didn't throw it downfield at all.
Once, and it was an incompletion. Everything else was behind the line of scrimmage.
I think I could throw it further than he did.
That's wild.
But yeah, that's...
You would think with those numbers that Cooper would be getting involved. Now, obviously, in the Seattle game, he got banged up, but you would think that, you know, Cooper would be a big part of that pass offense if Carr was that efficient. But he's had one or two decent games, I guess, but I mean, it's been more Jordy and Jared Cook there in the passing game than anybody. So anyways, that's a major tangent. I apologize for that, but I just found that really interesting. You know, when he said about Derek Carr, he's by far having, as far as his accuracy goes, he's absolutely having his best and all his stats really across the board. He has, I mean, this is like a good year for him.
I don't think he's just not there. Like I said, I think
there's so much the problem there. Yeah.
John Gruden's the problem. Chucky.
10 years, 100 million. Yeah. That's a problem.
Yeah.
But okay. Bringing it back to the whole actual point of this podcast, which is trading.
Good job.
We have to Amari Cooper is still worth at least a first round rookie pick, right?
In 2019, maybe, just because from what I've seen, I don't like this upcoming draft as much. I mean, the most loaded position is wide receiver, I think. But would I rather have a veteran like Amari Cooper potentially in a new spot or in Oakland rather than N'Keal Harry or a Whiteside or something like that? I probably would. So, I mean, I'd probably do a 2019 first.
So, I think you're probably right as far as where he is being valued. I think I actually saw a poll today that was like, you know, mid or like earlier first, later first, or early to mid second or something as far as value. It all depends on whether you own him or not. If you're if you own him, you're not selling him for less than a first round pick. I mean, you're just not. I don't think.
Let me in that league, and I will gladly give you less than a first-round pick for Amari Cooper.
But I'll be honest with you. As an owner that is buying, there are so many other guys that I would rather own. Like, I look at his ADP. I think I just had this up. Hold on. His ADP for October over DLF is 31. He's ahead of guys.
That's got to be, like, the lowest he's ever been.
I think it is. I think it is. But he's ahead of guys like Golladay and Corey Davis and Darius Geis and Sony and Zach Ertz.
You said he's ahead.
He's ahead of them. I'd rather have every single one of those guys.
I was just about to say I'll have everyone else you named except him.
That's in our leagues, in Trade Addicts leagues, man.
Yeah, I went a little overboard with that tight end.
But yeah, I mean, so I think his value probably is somewhere from a mid to late first, depending on the situation between the owners and what they're trying to do. But if I'm buying him, it's really a hard thought to give up a mid to late first this draft, if this draft were the draft we just had, there's no way I'm giving
up. Oh, no. Yeah. First.
You know, and in Superflex, I think that makes it more challenging too, because, you know, none of the quarterbacks are super exciting right now. But guess what? By the time the draft rolls around in April, there's going to be some guys with some major hype that are
always, yeah,
you know, yeah, it always happens, right? So, I mean, I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch Cooper's value. I think it will definitely help if he gets out of Oakland. If he gets out of Oakland, I think he immediately is back into the mid first.
Here's a question. We'll lay out our own scenarios we were just talking about. If he's in Green Bay, would you give up a first?
Yeah.
Heartbeat. Done.
Yeah.
And if he's in Dallas, would you give up a first?
Yep. Yep.
I probably would, just because he's the only, he would be the only show in town. Exactly. There.
I mean, people were taking Gallup near the end of the first, so you have to be taking Cooper with a first.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. You're probably right there.
Don't you forget
I'll quit guest hosting your show. You guys can have it back now.
No, man, it makes my life easy. Just keep going, man. You want to introduce the next segment?
I couldn't even tell you what the next segment is because my notes are all over the place.
This guy takes paper notes, by the way. I go through the trouble of sending him our Google Doc, and instead of editing the Google Doc, he writes notes on a piece of paper in front of him.
Damn, I'm 24. You expect me to be up with this technology?
Yeah, you got these Luddites like Brian over here who could handle Google Docs. I figure anybody can. All right, so that was our news and notes. We are now going to get on to, instead of making amends and just telling you what we did wrong, we're going to throw in a little of what we did right, too. We're going to give you one of the, wow. We're going to give you a call that we got right and a call that we got wrong so far into this season that we've been touting since the preseason. And like I said, guests go first. So, Andrew, why don't you give us something you got right, something you got wrong?
Two things I think I've gotten right so far. One, well, up until this week when he got hurt, Cooper Kupp, I've been high on since last year. I really, really like Cooper Kupp. I think I've referred to him as Bay on Twitter, so I apologize for those outbursts.
We all have our Bays, don't we?
And then
Saquon Barkley. Sorry.
Oh, he's everyone's Bay. So, I mean.
Hey, I got my Baker.
Hey, that's, I'm accepting that too. The other one I think I'm most proud of is before the year, I made a prediction on the aforementioned podcast I made earlier with Top Dog. I said Mahomes would do 4,500 yards and 40 touchdowns.
Ooh.
And so far, I'm looking good on that.
Yeah, right? It's funny. Like I really was stopped and I thought, I couldn't think of anyone who got Mahomes right to this extent besides Stompy. He has his pinned tweet, which is pretty much referring Patrick Mahomes as Jesus.
Mine's recorded, so.
so hey, there you go.
Number two.
There you go. You were right as well, so rock on.
And then I'm assuming you want to hear my wrong.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do what you got
to
do.
Because I'm going to lose all credibility with everybody. No one's going to listen to anything.
No one actually has credibility on this show anyway, so it's no problem.
Devi, owner's manual is going to go down the tubes, this show and everything. I'm sorry, Tyler, that you have me as a writer. I said before the year that David Njoku would be a top three tight end.
He might not finish the season that far away, though.
Tyrod scared me the first couple weeks. I just need him to start catching the ball.
With Baker, who loves his tight ends, I don't think that's that terrible of a call. Top three
the
is...
The last 2 weeks have made me feel a little bit better.
Yeah. Once people in Cleveland start catching the ball, I don't know if like Baker throws that different of a spiral than anyone else that's ever thrown the ball to them. Because everyone's getting 10 targets, but three catches for 30 yards. It's so weird. I don't know if I've ever seen this before.
Yeah, Callaway had 11 targets last week, and he had one catch, and I can't remember how much it was.
That dude, since we're talking about him at the moment, I don't think I actually ended up tweeting it out, but it's just like, are we like concerned at this point? Because I remember people throwing firsts for him at some point, and it's just like 2-3 weeks ago, and now he's. I mean, I get he's a rookie, and it takes time and everything, but he was being touted as a first round talent. and he's not catching the ball a lot.
In his defense, no one in Lake Erie is catching the ball. Not even Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, so. Which is so weird. All right, okay, so maybe I'll cut him a little slack.
I'll get to him later for us.
Nice. All right, so Njoku, is that your only wrong one, or you want to keep...
That's my biggest wrong one that I could come up with off the top of my head.
All right, cool, so we'll let you off there. And Brian, why don't you give us your wrong first while we're at it?
Yeah, so back-to-back weeks here. This one's a real easy one for me to pick. I was wrong about Devontae Adams, and I'm not a guy that has a problem admitting when I mess something up or miss something, and I totally whiffed on Adams. I just did not think that he was going to take that next step. I assumed that he was the default in Green Bay, default wide receiver one in Green Bay, but I did not expect him to take the step into that tier where Jordy used to live. And he's doing it just week after week. He had another huge week last night, huge game last night against the Niners. I got to be honest with you. There have been several leagues. I've never, ever put trade offers out for Devontae Adams. my worst trade, I think I talked about back like, I don't know, like 17 or 19 episodes or whenever we did that. I traded him away. So anyways, I've been sending offers to acquire this guy after trashing him all off season. So I was definitely wrong about Devontae Adams. He is a stud, and he's a lot of fun to watch right now. So and then I'm excited to talk about my right, because this is one of the ones that I wanted to happen really, really bad.
This
and
has
so
been one of your hills for sure.
It has, and it's so far so good. But I was right about Andrew Luck. Despite evidence to the contrary, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Good enough for me.
Okay. Yeah. So despite all the worries about the shoulder, right? Not throwing a football forever. The pictures that did come out of him throwing the football were like a JV high school football.
Conor McGregor throwing a football.
Yo, oh my God. That was awful. That was awful.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick really forgot how to throw a football after not playing for it.
They do look like exactly like it's, that's creepy. No, but you know, so the pictures you did see of him throwing the ball were of a junior level ball. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was nervous too. I really was, but I just thought, you know, if the Colts organization, despite their owner and despite some of the garbage that the previous GM did there, and the horrible job he did protecting Andrew Luck, and he's still having issues with that at this point, but it's a little better. I just if they didn't feel like they needed to draft a quarterback, I mean, I can't imagine that they had enough confidence that we're going to go into this season knowing Andrew Luck is still injured and not going to play, and we're going to play Jacoby Brissett for 16 games. I just can't imagine. And that's not saying anything negative about Brissett. He was serviceable.
He's not listening
while he was in there, but he's not, you know, he's not a quarterback that's really going to probably lead your team, and especially not a team like Indianapolis, to many, many wins. So, I just assumed that, hey, if they don't think they need a quarterback, then they must be confident enough that Luck's going to come back and be able to, you know, be himself. And, you know, and then even into the season, right? So he had a pretty nice first week. And then they had the game where they brought Brissett in at the end of the, I don't know if it was the end of the half or the end of the game, where he threw that Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, see, there's something wrong with Andrew Luck. There's something wrong with that shoulder. And all the, you know, all the critics are back. And, but from what I saw in the games, I didn't have any issue. You know, I felt like he could throw the deep ball well. You know, he was fairly accurate. And he's been amazing. I mean, he's on pace for 4,843 touchdowns right now. Coming off of that serious injury. So, I'm real excited about this because, like I said, I mean, I love Andrew Luck. He's another Peyton Manning type of character, just a good character guy and a really funny guy. I don't know if you've listened to any of the clips of him, like when he's mic'd up and stuff, but they're so funny. He's congratulating guys that hit him and he's like, oh, great hit, you know, and stuff like that. So I just really like Andrew Luck. He's a great player and he's a great personality. And I'm really happy that he's back.
Yeah, me too. Plus, a good Andrew Luck means a good T.Y. Hilton. And T.Y. till you die, baby. All right, so my turn. I will start off with what I've been wrong, because I've been very wrong. And that is the Tennessee Titans offense of Marcus Mariota and Derrick Henry. These were my most owned guys everywhere. And they are making me so, so sad. I was so excited with the new offense that isn't archaic, because exotic Smash Mouth is funny to say, but it is not funny to, well, it's funny to watch, but in a very bad way. So, I mean, I was hoping to get some up-tempo. I was hoping to get some option. I was hoping to get anything better than what we had, and somehow it got worse. I know Mariota came out and got a little hurt. I haven't heard anything about him being on any injury report or missing any practice or anything. So I have to assume he's healthy, but he's not playing like it. And he's making bad decisions. It's not even just like you could tell if his arm was hurt that he'd be ducking some throws, but he's throwing straight to defenders that he should be seeing. It's I don't know if it's the new system. I don't think
he's comfortable, personally.
It's weird to watch because he was always so poised and efficient, and it's the opposite of all of that now. And Derrick Henry, I think he just forgot how big he is. Like, dude, just, I know you're not allowed to actually lower your head anymore, but metaphorically, lower your head and run, man. Like, you need to run for more than 50 yards in a game. I know technically they're always losing, so you can't really run the ball that much, but... R.I.P. those calls. All right. But where I got it right, I'll refer to a certain tweet I tweeted out. Eric Ebron is the next Zach Ertz. Boom. Eric Ebron season, ladies and gentlemen. There were naysayers. There were many naysayers. And two guests so far have put Eric Ebron on as their trade away. He's still doing it, everybody. Don't give me none of that Jack Doyle not playing. Don't care. He was scoring touchdowns with Jack Doyle there. He needed his time. He can't. He's super young. Detroit doesn't care about tight ends, and we are seeing that now. I think their two tight ends have a combined one catch on the entire season. Don't fact check that because I made it up. But he goes to a team where, again, healthy Andrew Luck loves his tight ends, and he goes to Frank Reich, who was the offensive coordinator for Zach Ertz, which is why Eric Ebron, next Zach Ertz. Hashtag Ebron SZN. Boom. All right, well, that was fun, because we actually didn't just say what we've gotten wrong. We actually got to, you know, be happy about ourselves a little bit.
So, just because you said don't look it up, I, of course, looked it up.
Thanks. You're the best.
They have eight catches between three tight ends. They have eight catches.
Who is the tight end?
Roberts. It's Luke Wilson.
Yeah, that's Luke, right. Wilson's Luke Wilson, the starter. Yep.
Michael Roberts, who else?
Toilolo.
Oh yeah, Toilolo.
Toilolo. Good job.
That's right. I remember him from his Falcons days and stealing Tony Gonzalez touchdowns. All right, so yeah, we have now moved on from looking back to now looking forward. But I need to point out before we actually do, I put out a tweet today that we were going to be talking about the future, and we
give
want
it to
I,
him. Give it to him,
dude.
Are you going to give it to him?
I mean, I wasn't really going to be accusatory in any way, but
I was getting really excited about it.
I was just going to point out like the anomalous situation we walked into with our tweet, and you were just very aggressive that you think you just fell out of your chair. You've just disappeared.
It's been a day.
So, clearly, I sent out a tweet saying, give me some of your guys you would trade for if you're either rebuilding or looking to make that push for the ship. That tweet got 19 retweets. That tweet was on over 2,000 timelines. Zero responses. 19 retweets. No one answered.
As Chris Carter would say, come on, man.
Come on, man. I am so white.
I might have you beat with something. I'll let you keep talking, though.
No, go, man, because I am flabbergasted. I brought out
It's funny because the fantasy football community is so interactive, and it's funny how there's times where you're just like, oh, okay, then. Okay. I put out for our Divi owner's manual, I put out a red alert, did my little fire whistle things. Mm-hmm. For fan questions, tagged everybody. I had 48 total engagements across the board on it. Very nice. 4,000 impressions. Mm-hmm. One fan question.
Was it a good one?
It was a good one. I'll give the person credit. I can't remember who it is right now, but it could be worse.
I wouldn't even know if I even remember seeing that. I wouldn't even know what to ask because, again, that is how little I know about college football.
I think after the first episode, we'll have a little bit more. That's what we were talking about.
Oh, for sure. I mean, no one knew who we were. Nobody cared who we were until we got the podcast. That's my Bane impression of nobody cared who I was till I put on the mask, just in case you couldn't understand my terrible impression.
Were you born in the darkness?
See, there you go. You should say what I said before, because that's much better.
That is the only line I know from that movie. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, moving on. All right, so what we're going to do first is players you want to trade for if you're making the run for that championship. And guests go first, and since I have no idea who you are going to talk about because you wrote it on paper, not on our sheet, I can't even give you a nice lead in. So go, whatever.
Hey, I got to keep you guys on edge so I can get instant reaction. I chose three of them. I did two receivers, one tight end. Tried to come up with a quarterback, but... Yeah, like you said, if you're going for a championship, like we were just talking about, the person I was wrong on was Njoku. But in the last 2 weeks, he's seen 2 weeks ago, he saw his most targets ever. And then he beat that this past week with his most targets ever. I can't remember the number and I apologize. But he's starting to see more of a target share now, I think, because of anybody that's actually catching the ball. I think he's doing it the best.
Oh, wait, hold on. And I know this one. I don't remember this past, not this past game, but before 11-7. Those past two games were his target numbers because I talked about him last week.
Yep. He had the garbage time touchdown this past week. And that exactly. And that as fantasy players, you love garbage time. So I think Njoku is a good target. I think a lot of people are bummed out on how he's performed. So I think he's totally doable as far as acquiring him in leagues. Another person I mentioned earlier, Randall Cobb, depending on if they get Cooper, I don't think they will, but if they do, if they don't get Cooper, I'm sorry, and Cobb gets healthy, I think he's worth a share as long as he has number 12 thrown on the ball. DeShone Kizer gets in there, just run away. And then another one who's been burning me because I've been sitting him on his good weeks and playing him on his bad weeks is Michael Crabtree. In Baltimore. I benched him this past week and I lost by 10 points and he had, I think, 90 yards and a touch.
See, you picked some good guys because they're all actually pretty affordable. All right, so let's go down this. Okay, well, maybe not Njoku in a tight end premium. Like, he's kind of gold at this point.
Tight end premium, yeah, you're not going to get Njoku. But, like, if you're in a one tight end sort of just redraft sort of league, he's, I think, a good target.
All right, so let's talk about the other guys. Randall Cobb, I feel like at this point has to be cheap, right? Like, you're not, are you, your words, man, you're not sending a first for him at this point anymore. Is it still going to take a second to get Randall Cobb, do you think?
I'm a Randall Cobb owner, and I mean, I'll be honest, the league I have him in, I have a little bit of depth. If I got a third for Cobb, I'd probably send him to somebody. So if anyone in that league's listening, I'll take a third.
If not, go tell those people to listen to our show. Come on, man.
Right. But no, Cobb's one, you got to kind of love him if you want to get him, because he has been hurt. He has been wishy-washy, and he's burned me a couple times this year already. So I think it all depends on what your needs are, if you're going to trade a second or a third.
You going to say something, Brian? Nope. Okay. Then Crabtree, who finally did something this past game, but was getting overshadowed by Smokey, which I love because rock on Smokey. But again, Crabtree is someone who is always that bit of possession receiver, never going to be, you know, a big play guy, which John Brown is taking the work for. Yeah, don't really know where I was going to go with that, but it sort of worked itself out. But again, same exact thing. I don't even think you need to send a second for Michael Crabtree right now, and I think he'll be solid for you. So I think that's an awesome call. So, Brian, you ready to talk?
Sure.
Because you look a little, you know, lackadaisical.
No. I'm good. I'm relaxed, man. There's half a show to go here. I'll be fired up before the end. Anyways.
Be fired up. Maybe you should be fired up before we start recording. How about that?
He's the boxer that needs hitting to get to the ring to get amped up for the fight.
Players to trade for to make a championship run. I'm going to start with Robert Woods in L.A. Yeah. That whole offense, if you can get a piece of it, man, go get a piece of it.
Yeah, I almost put Rams offense on my list, but you beat me to put Robert Woods.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like, I mean, that receiving core, I mean, obviously Todd Gurley, but you're probably not getting him.
Oh yeah. No.
Unless you're just selling the farm. And same goes for Jared Goff in a super flex. So, you know, but both of those, or actually all three of those wide receivers, Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, Cooper Kupp, all three of them, if you can get your hands on any of them for, you know, fair value, go for it. They're going to be productive. And for me, I mean, Woods has been quietly their best receiver. I think he has like 30 more fantasy points than the other two. I don't know. That surprised me today when I saw it. So
you making that up?
No, I'm not, honestly.
Check him. He checked you.
I'm trying, but he's going to be talking too fast, and I'm not good at this.
No, we're going to slow down here and get it checked out. We need to make sure. So okay, so that was not correct.
Damn.
Yes, it was. Absolutely, it was. So Robert Woods is the wide receiver 7 right now.
Kupp, yeah, he is.
Kupp is the wide receiver 15. And Cooks is the wide receiver 24. Boom.
I didn't realize he's having that good of a year.
Whoa. So, okay, wait. Or give us points per game, because those other guys missed a game, didn't they?
Here's his game log. I have it up. Week 1, 7 points. Then from there, 14, 33, 21, 19, 19.
Wow.
His average points per game is 2 points more than Kupp. Well, 1.5 more than Kupp. And 5.4.5. Hang on. I'm not good.
Math.
5 points more than Cooks per game. So he went on a per game.
So yeah, good call. And you could probably, he's probably the cheapest.
That's what I'm doing. And that's exactly why I put him on here. I like all three of those guys. I think they all have the potential to be league winners. But Woods is probably priced the lowest of the three, and yet he's performing the best of the three right now. So that's why I put him on there.
Going to make some Robert Woods offers before I post this show.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I was going to support you a little bit more with Woods. I can't remember where I saw it. It was one of those next gen stats that ESPN's always doing on the Booger McFarland mobile. I think Woods has the most air target yards of anybody. So he's their deep threat for sure. So.
Wow. The fact that Woods has more air yards than Cooks is actually pretty surprising.
Yeah, it really is.
All right.
It really is. I wouldn't have thought that.
If you're competing, which means you're going to have a bottom later first, you're absolutely throwing your first for Robert Woods, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I would.
Would?
I would, yes.
Okay.
I would cool. for Woods.
Wood for Woods. There you go. Let's make some buttons. All right, move on.
Yeah, so my second guy is Manny Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders in Denver. He's 32 years old. So in Dynasty, he doesn't hold a value that he does in redraft. But if you're that guy that's making a push, he's had a heck of a season so far. I think he's on pace for like 1,350 or 1,400 total yards or yards receiving. Now, he's only scored two touchdowns, you know, but he's having a pretty solid year. He's probably going to be in the upper 80s, low 90s as far as catches. And yeah, so Manny Sanders, and I think he would be cheaper probably than Demaryius.
So which is weird. Actually,
yeah. So actually, Sanders is actually right behind Robert Woods by a point. He's the wide receiver 8 currently. He has weeks of 29, 13, 18, 11, 16, and 24.
I got an analogy for you with Woods and Thomas, or with Woods and Thomas, Sanders and Thomas.
Great. This now I have to edit.
Oh, he's leaving it in there.
Yeah.
This is the retail salesman in me. Apple, you pay for the brand. Bose is your quality. Thomas, you pay for the name. Sanders, you get your quality.
Yeah.
I love that.
I like both of those guys, but yeah, I think at this point you're right. I mean, the production has been there for Manny for several years and especially this year. So he's another guy definitely to target that I think you could probably get for a second round pick in most leagues. And I'd be willing to do that if I'm making a championship push. So
cool. Hit us with your last guy.
Yeah. So my last guy on here is Tariq Cohen. So last week, 2 weeks ago, maybe, my make amends was Cohen and the Bears offense in general. Since that time, Cohen's snap rates have gone from like 20 some percent to like 50%. So he is producing now, finally. And I just think he's a guy that he's explosive. So he's going to make some big plays. Now, he's the bust potential weekly is there as well, especially if they get a big lead and they start grinding the game out. I don't see Chicago getting a ton of big leads, personally. You know, and Cohen's value is in catching the football. He's had 7 receptions in each of the last 2 games. And you know, 211 yards receiving in those 2 games combined. So, you know, he's really, since his snap share has increased, he's really kind of taking off in the passing game. So, and I think, you know, Trubisky, he's an easy target, right? It's not a tough throw to hit him out of the backfield. And he's electric in space, and I think they're trying to get him the ball in space. So I think he's a guy that you can target that isn't going to cost you a ton.
You think you get him for less than a first?
Yeah, definitely. Or you should. I'm not paying a first for him. I'm not paying a first for him. He's not even the starter there. So I personally would not pay for. I mean, that's like asking, would you pay a first round pick for Eckler? I would not.
Could you get him for less than that right now?
I don't know.
I mean, Eckler is a little different because he's still getting 7 touches a game, but still manages to get 80 yards and a touchdown every week. But, I mean, Cohen is actually getting more steady touches than Eckler is, I think.
I just looked it up. Howard has 51% of the snap count now, and Cohen has 49%.
Man, so it's almost close to spending that first for Tariq Cohen.
It's almost a split. Yeah, I mean, I would think about a late first if I really thought.
Well, again, we're going to get the 112 or whatever team you're in. Like, we're thinking you're going to win the ship. So, I mean,
yeah,
I think you're late.
I might do it. Yeah, I might do it.
All right, cool. I like those guys. See, you guys went like a very affordable, very like smart route. I went for home run hitters. All right. So my 3 guys, well, I'll give you 2 first. Dalvin Cook and Alshon Jeffrey. Dalvin Cook is awesome. We're going to forget that because of this hamstring thing and becoming off the torn ACL. What people may not know is you bust up your knee, one knee. You're going to run differently after that right away. You have to get used to running again. That usually leads to compensation injuries. And that's what this is and why it's taking time to get better. They're finally letting him rest. They're not rushing him back. He's going to heal from this. And it's not like this is going to be an ongoing issue. He's going to heal. He's going to go back to running the way he's supposed to run. And we're going to remember how awesome he is. So buy him now. You're going to have to pay a decent amount, but go check out his playoff schedule. I probably should have had it written down or pulled up when I went to talk about him, but I am not professional.
I got you. I got you. I got you. Seattle, Miami, and Detroit. If you have Dalvin Cook on your team and he's healthy in week 16, you're going to win the championship. Because I could run for 100 yards against the Detroit Lions. Probably not. But I could run for like 17 yards, maybe, if I had like holes the size of Mack trucks. I'd probably pull a hamstring on like the third carry, though. So,
but you'd look good while you're doing it.
I always look good. So, I mean, that's not. I mean, me and Jimmy GQ, we're like, you know, we hang out. And don't tell my wife that.
Let's
move along.
Good.
You're going down a rabbit hole. I don't think you're going to go down.
Indeed.
All right. Indeed. So, Dalvin Cook, right? Because that's what we were talking about. He is going to cost you a lot. I think he's worth whatever you're going to have to pay now, because once he's healthy and once he's playing again, he's going to go back up to that end of the first startup costs, and that's I think what he is. So I'd be fine first plus. Two firsts, if I could, you know, if I have an extra one sitting around, I would absolutely do that. Alshon Jeffrey is awesome. And ever since I remember Travis Rasmussen coming on and talking about him before the season, I've been buying up Alshon everywhere. I bought 2 shares in the past week because the Eagles are good. That offense is going to move. And Alshon Jeffrey is very good. And I'm going to make something up and say that he has a great schedule also. But I don't actually know that's true. I'm really going to hope that someone pulls it up for me. And
Dallas, is it good? Dallas, the Rams, and Houston. That's a nice. That's
actually a very good schedule. I got pretty lucky on that one.
Yep.
Pretty good. Giants. Skins. He has a great schedule the rest of the season.
He really does.
And the biggest thing with him is Wentz is finally starting to get his feet back under him. Just like we're talking with Cook, he just needed a little bit of time.
Yep. So he's another guy. He won't cost you as much as Cook will. I have Alshon on a team where I'm rebuilding, and people keep throwing me random 19 firsts, and I haven't done it yet. Even though I'm rebuilding, I think he's worth more than that. And that just might be because I'm that high on him. What do you guys think? Do you think Alshon, like, if you're rebuilding, someone offers you a 19 first, are you taking that?
I'd try to squeeze a little more.
Yeah. I mean, heck, I asked for more for Chubb for Fitzgerald. So, you know, I'm going to ask for more.
We're going to say that doesn't count because that should not have worked. And if you're whoever you did that trade with, if you're listening, thanks for listening. We love you,
guys. I've got the NFL Network on over here in the corner of my basement.
This podcast.
No, I am into the podcast. I took a sip of my drink and turned my head, and there's Devontae Adams highlights. I really messed up, guys. I apologize. I totally screwed that one up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
So enough about that.
All right. So those are my first two. My last guy, who I said is more along the lines of everyone that these guys have been listing, Jordy Nelson. Now, I know Andrew said that everyone on the Raiders is stay away.
Fire sale.
But let's pretend this past week against the Seahawks didn't happen. 14, 17, and 31 are his three games going backwards. They're on a bye this week. Then they have the Colts, 49ers, Chargers, Cardinals, Ravens is a tough one, Chiefs, Steelers, Bengals, Broncos. That's kind of a cake schedule. And then...
Is the Steelers in the playoffs?
No. Yes, first week.
14.
Yeah. I mean, there's a week one. I mean, Brian, you're like burning teams' defenses. I'm sure you could catch 10 balls against the Steelers' defense.
Oh, yeah, easily. So. Especially if Artie Burns was covering me. If Artie Burns was covering me, I'd break NFL records.
So, I mean, like, that's so, it's, I was super off of Jordy Nelson this year, and I didn't even, like, I know he had that one big game against the Dolphins where for some reason he was running faster than people, because according to John Gruden, that Jordy Nelson can still run. But,
he's very quotable this year.
He's so, like, what is he? Regardless. Yeah, Jordy Nelson seems like an easy buy, and he's got to be so cheap, especially if there's magically a team that's 50% or below in standings. I feel like you could get him for a second just to lock it up without even having to negotiate. And to me, again, even if Amari doesn't leave, it doesn't seem like it matters. So yeah, I'd be all over Jordy Nelson right now.
He's a sneaky one for sure.
Yeah, for reals. I mean, I didn't even notice it until I was negotiating a trade for two other people, because in my home leagues, people are just too afraid to trade talk. So I literally did both sides of a trade, and I put Jordy Nelson into the trade. Don't come at me with collusion and crap. I need to get people need to learn what they're doing, and the only way for them to learn is to me to do it for them, apparently.
No, the only way for them to do it is to listen to this podcast.
Yes. If your home league is not listening to this podcast, which mine isn't, because they all think I'm full of shit, so
welcome to my
full crap, full crap, full crap.
But my name is Dynasty Outhouse.
Exactly.
I have a buddy of mine that said that ever since I started writing. He's like, oh, you got all the answers, huh? I said, yeah, you're right. I said, what league are we in again? Oh, that's right. I'm 6-0 in that league.
I am not 6-0 in my home league.
Yeah, me neither.
Moving on, because that was getting to a sad place. We are going to... All right, let's be honest. It's funny. I have this conversation with a lot of noobs. You can't always win. I'm going to put it out there. You have to be realistic at some point. And I think now is that time where you really know if you're going to make the playoffs, or even if you do, if it's worth making the playoffs. Because you can't rebuild with 106s year after year.
Nope.
So you're going to need to make some moves where we've talked about this before the season started. We had an episode on rebuilding. You're not trashing your team. You're not losing value in these trades, but you're going to be trading away studs, but you're going to be getting people who will be studs, or people that are just smart to hold on to because their value will rise. Andrew, give us some of those people that you have listed that I can't see.
According to my legal pad here, I've got, again, seems like we keep talking about them, Cooper Kupp. I think there might be one owner out there in some league for somebody listening that he's scared of Kupp, and he's right on the brink, and he can't afford to lose a couple games. So you might be able to nab him from there. And I think if you can do that for Kupp, he's a perfect stash. Antonio Callaway with Cleveland. Again, I'm going to sound like a broken record. We're beating a dead horse here. If he could just catch the ball and finish his routes, we might even be talking about him being wide receiver two on someone's team. And then another one, too. This is a guy that's on the IR, and I feel like that's really what you're going to target when you're rebuilding. Jerick McKinnon. I think even if his future isn't in San Francisco, depending on what happens with if Bell, they always talk about Bell going there, or maybe Devontae Freeman goes back there to team up with Shanahan, something like that. Wherever McKinnon would go, he's going to fight for a starting job. So, I mean, if you could get him for somebody now just as a future asset, I think he's worth a stash as well.
Exactly, because, I mean, sort of take these things in reverse. If your team's bad and you have Jordy Nelson, go throw Jordy Nelson for Antonio Callaway. I mean, yeah. To me, those values are perfect. And it's a perfect trade, even though I always say I don't like same position swaps. This is that exception. This is exactly when you do that, because it's going to help that other guy go in, and it's going to help you next year, the year after, and the year after, and when Jordy Nelson's using crutches because he's so banged up.
I think too,
completely like lost my train of thought on that one. Wow. All right.
Take you were going to say something. Duties again. I think with me being in those two dynasty leagues, I'm rebuilding in both of them. And then what that is you have to have a conversation with yourself and be like, is it worth it for me to keep fighting at this point? Or do you do what the boxer does? Instead of getting knocked out, he takes a knee and then he fights on to the next round.
They're on the damn cattle.
So with that,
I threw you off.
Is this what you deal with, Brian?
Yes, sir. Every week.
Anyway, no, it's about knowing your team and knowing what you need to build on. That's why I have so many picks in one league, and then I got so many rookies in another league. You've just got to – they're all lottery tickets. The more scratch-offs you have, the better chance you have of hitting the Powerball.
Yeah, and the obvious answer to this question, you know, what do you trade for? The answer is first-round picks. Mm-hmm. I mean, I figured we would just sort of escape the obvious. If you were rebuilding, first matter. Some seconds matter. I wouldn't go nuts going after seconds. Thirds, honestly, I would get to, because thirds and fourths are chips to me.
I've stashed seconds and traded seconds because they're nice throw-ons whenever someone's not sure about a trade.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like that cherry that nobody wants on the top of their milkshake. You just give it to them anyway, and they're like, oh, well, that looks nice. So, yeah, I'll do it.
And then, you know, you throw it out because nobody wants a cherry on top of their milkshake. Cherries don't belong on drinks.
I agree.
Nice.
100%.
All right, and now that you're actually fired up, give us some of your players you're trading for to rebuild.
All right, so the first one for me in a rebuild, I'm looking to get Darius Geis everywhere I can possibly touch that guy. He is a stud, and he had the unfortunate knee injury, obviously, in the preseason that actually looked kind of not as bad as it ended up being. But I may or may not have shed a tear when that happened. I drafted Geis in several leagues and was really, really excited about him. And I think he's a stud, and he's going to come into that offense in Washington. You know, they signed AP, and he has been better than I thought he would be there. Absolutely. But he ain't going to be there next year.
No, no.
And Chris Thompson is what Chris Thompson is. Mm-hmm. And that's good for the Skins, but he's not the workhorse back. He's never going to carry the load, per se. And Darius Geis is going to be that guy, and they drafted him to be that guy. So I'm very excited about Geis and really want him to succeed. So he's a guy that I'm definitely targeting if I'm rebuilding. second on my list, I got a quarterback in here, and it's Josh Rosen. My boy. Yeah. So Rosen for me was I had him as the top quarterback. Now I will say, he and Baker are close for me. I mean, Baker is pretty darn good too. I know a lot of people had Baker as one and, you know, weren't as high on Rosen, and that's fine. I don't have an issue with that. I like Baker too. But I did have Rosen as my number one quarterback in this past class. So, and I've seen some really nice things from him since he's taken over that Cardinals offense. Now, the problem is they have a coordinator there that is he's I don't even know
what Brady would say he's gone.
Yeah, it right. And I think regardless of who they bring in, it'll be better.
Gotta be.
So you know, I think you take advantage of somebody who was counting on Rosen to play and play early and play super well and put up crazy fantasy numbers. You take advantage of that because he hasn't done that yet. Now, he's looked good. Yes, exactly. And that's what I was just going to say. He looks pretty good. I mean, he's made some throws where I've thought, yeah, those are NFL throws. Like that's legit. So, you know, if there was somebody looking for an immediate contribution from him and they're, you know, freaking Rosen, you know, go take advantage of that and buy this guy. And then third here, I'm going to actually have two wide receivers. One is Chris Godwin. I've been really high on Chris Godwin for a long time.
Hey, you made me see the light on him.
I did, and he was, I mean, a month and a half ago, he was up in the 90s, I think, in terms of ADP. Now he's up in the lower 50s or upper 50s, 57-ish. You know, so he's slowly rising. But DeSean Jackson is more than likely gone after this year. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be the wide receiver two in Tampa. And while that offense at times is messy, I don't, you know, their defense isn't really good either. So they're giving up a lot of points. They're going to be throwing the ball, and Chris Godwin's going to be a big part of that. I think the more comfortable he gets in that offense, I just think he's going to produce more. And the nice thing there is he's never going to face a team's best wide receiver because they're always going to be across the field on Mike Evans. Mm-hmm. So Godwin's going to get his. You know, he maybe doesn't have the ceiling as much as, you know, as high as some of these other guys. But I think his floor is probably lower than a lot of those guys too. So he's a guy that I would target and rebuild. And then the other wide receiver is Courtland Sutton.
Love him.
Yeah, I really do too. I mean, I've liked what I've seen. You know, the statistics aren't overly impressive. You know, I think he has around 13 catches, 218 yards so far on the season, and one touchdown, which isn't overly impressive, but he's looked pretty good in the games that I've watched Denver play. I've watched two Denver games this year, so, and he's looked pretty good in both of those games. I know, Russ, you were pretty excited about him after the Jets game, and he didn't actually even that's the game he caught the touchdown in, but he only had two catches in that game. You know, but you saw enough in that game to like what you saw too. So, you know, and I see the same thing. I mean, I like this kid. I think he's a really strong player. And Denver's wide receiver situation is just so up in the air. I mean, both Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders contracts, they both have 1 year remaining, but they're going to cost a fortune. Demaryius Thomas is going to cost like $16.2 million next year.
It's like a total of $2.5 million in dead cap to lose both of them.
Right.
At the end of the year.
A little more than that, I think.
Or is that just one of them?
I think Sanders is 2.5.
Okay.
And Thomas is 3.5. But mm-hmm. but still, I mean, Demaryius Thomas is going to cost $17.5 million if they keep him next year.
Oh, yeah,
they're not keeping him. I mean, the only way they can keep him is if he restructures entirely. And same thing with Sanders. Sanders, I mean, he'd be a little bit less, but 12, almost 13 million. I just can't see them paying those two guys that type of money. So at least one, possibly both of those guys are going to be gone. And, you know, Sutton's going to step into a wide receiver two role. Now, is Case Keenum going to be the guy there? Is Chad Kelly going to be the guy there? Are they going to draft another quarterback? Who the heck knows? But I think Sutton is a talented enough kid that, you know, he's probably going to succeed regardless of the quarterback play. And with some luck, if he builds some rapport with somebody, Chad Kelly, maybe. I was wrong on Keenum, too. That's another one I can take a hit on. you know, I just like the situation there for Sutton, and I like the talent. So he's another guy that I would be looking to buy because I think his value is going to go up once he sees that opportunity.
Yeah, big fan of both of those receivers. And I have actually been able to get Chris Godwin in a couple of places. Courtland Sutton, I think everyone knew he was going to be raw this year, so I don't think anyone who drafted him thought they were going to get production. So you can't do that thing where you're like, man, you know, you drafted him in the end of the first, but, you know, he hasn't really done anything. So, you know, you can get me a little cheaper. No, his value has actually probably gone up at this point, even though he's done absolutely nothing, just because he's shown that he can be awesome in the NFL, even if it is sporadic and not really hasn't done you anything for your fantasy team. But I don't think it matters anymore. I don't think it matters at this point because, again, it's something that no one really expected anything from. So I agree with both of those. I would be all over those wide receivers. We both love Josh Rosen, and yeah, Darius Geis is awesome. Do you have anything to say about those guys before I move on to mine, Andrew?
I was going to say two things on Godwin. You talked about that defense being horrible. With that will come the garbage time fantasy points that we were talking about. couple people earlier. And then another thing too, Brian, another reason you might be high on him. What college did Godwin go to?
He did happen to play his collegiate football 6.4 miles from my house. So.
Gotcha.
But that actually,
once or twice.
Yes, I did. I did see him once or twice. so yeah, I mean that is true. But I will say I've been high on him and consistent with that take for a long time. I think the first time I really came out strongly with it was on my very first podcast appearance, which was on the Superflex Super Show, which at the time was with another organization, but and Godwin was the guy that I talked about on that show. So I have been on Godwin a long time, and I think he's you know, he's not a flashy guy at all. He really isn't. But he's just solid.
And he scores.
And he catches the football. And I think, you know, that builds trust with quarterbacks. You know, and he makes tough contested catches. And again, I think that does the same thing. Builds trust with quarterbacks. And I just feel like, you know, once he's the clear number two and Deshaun's out of the way, you know, yes, the tight end's gonna be involved. Yes, Mike Evans is always gonna be involved, but Chris Godwin's gonna be involved down there too. So
yeah, love it. All right, mine are, one of them we don't even really need to talk too much about because we already have for a while, Amari Cooper. He is so young, and he's been in the league for like 6 years already. He's so good. I don't care what's going on. It seems like he's getting out of, I almost said Denver because we were just talking about Denver, but it seems like he's getting out of Oakland, and that could only be for the better unless he goes to Buffalo, which, oh my God, don't go to Buffalo. All right, sorry, that scared me. I actually have Cooper on a team that I am making my run for the ship, and I am actually looking to move him for Cooper Kupp, actually, and, you know, a couple of pieces otherwise to try and make my run. But yeah, I think Cooper is still a guy to build around, because when you're rebuilding teams, Superflex, you involve quarterbacks, but otherwise you build around young wide receivers, and he is the young wide receiver right now. I still think you build around this guy. We've already talked about what we think about him value-wise and all that, so I won't really hang on that. My other is a Superflex idea. If you are really rebuilding, because it's really tough to get quarterbacks in a Superflex league, right now I would go after Kyle LaLetta and Mason Rudolph. These are two guys who were probably just drafted in the late third to fifth round of rookie drafts, so they're not going to cost you a lot. And Eli's terrible, and Roethlisberger says he's going to retire every 20 minutes. So these are guys that can walk into playing time soon. And all you need is a starting quarterback, and their value just spikes. So get them now, in the chance that they may be worth a whole lot later. Even if you don't need to use them, flipping them will help your rebuild. Because don't forget, rebuilding's hard. And you're not going to do it on a few trades. It's going to take a while. I mean, I had one rebuild that took me 3 years, and now I'm 5-1. But it was ugly, and it was slow, and I now have Patrick Mahomes and Davante Adams and don't even remember anymore. But it all came on very, you know, at the time when they didn't have that much value to their names, except for Cooper, I really freaking overpaid for, you know. I don't want to talk about that one, though. That'll go down as one of the worst trades I've made because it turned into, like, Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, and Joe Mixon. I mean, it's just like, damn, oops. Ooh. Yeah, but still, forgetting one of the worst trades I've ever made, go after these guys that are going to have possible spikes in value. And in Superflex, those quarterbacks that have that one small thing that will turn them into starting quarterbacks, those are the guys you want like six of. Because all of a sudden, C.J. Beathard is worth a ton. Now, you're not going to get every backup expecting that every quarterback might blow their knee out, because you don't really want to depend on that. But there are guys who's cut, like, you know, whoever the, I don't even, who's backup in the, on Cincinnati after AJ
McCarron.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want him, but, you know, like the idea that there's always a chance that Dalton might not be coming back. AJ McCarron, hold on to him because Carr's getting the crap beat out of him, and it's not that hard to get out of him this year. And I know we were saying that he has nice stats and all, but he ain't looking great, and that team is God knows what. So those are the kinds of guys, to me, you want to build your super flex team around. And they're all cheap.
I just thought of another one, if that's okay.
No, please.
You mentioned AJ McCarron. This reminded me of, I was listening to Move the Sticks with Jim Nagy, who does the Senior Bowl now. And he was talking about how he was talking to an NFL executive. And the Raiders aren't tied to Carr after this year. They can cut him and not have to pay him anything.
$7.5 million, I think, is the dead cap.
Yeah, well, compared to what his salary is.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
His salary goes up to $22.5 million next year. His cap hit. It was $25 million this year. Good Lord.
He was mentioning how Gruden loves McCarron. I'm not saying, I'm just, if you need a quarterback in a super flex, you could get McCarron super cheap right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm not saying they're going to cut Carr. I don't think they do, but I mean, it's worth a stash.
Exactly. And that's like when you're in that deep of a rebuild, all you need is something that will gain value, like the Mike Glennons of the world. Even though that's, you know, what was that, like 2 years ago at this point?
That ship has sailed straight into the Bermuda Triangle.
He's still in the NFL, right? He's somewhere.
He's third string in Arizona.
Wow, that's bad. All right. Well, hopefully you guys learned something a little bit. Maybe just keep listening. I don't really care if you actually learned anything. We're entertaining. Yay. And I've made Andrew like cover his face like so many times. It makes me so happy this entire show. So I feel like this is a success.
I'm going to cover my face with my legal pad.
Oh, there you go. But we're not done just yet. We have a Trade Addicts trade to talk about.
Trade Addicts trades.
Oh, yeah. Where's that been this whole time? We did like four segments and you didn't give me any of those. Man, if I wasn't lazy, I'd make you do them now, then edit them in where they belong. But that is not happening. I like all you people who listen to this show, but not that much. So, Trade Addicts leagues, 12 teams, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium. Blockbuster of a deal that fits perfectly into this show. We had our boy at FF Obscene just throw it out there. I'm rebuilding. Throw me some offers. I'm selling my studs. And I send an offer. I have a couple other people say, yo, sent, check your inbox. And then right away, he's like, Keenan and Kelsey are sold. And I'm like, wait, did you take my Kelsey deal? Did you? Yeah. And then we get an email. Keenan Allen and Travis Kelsey for Corey Davis, 2 19 firsts and a 19 second. Now, Brian, buddy of ours, Brian, walked away with Keenan Allen and Travis Kelsey, which first, let's put it out there. He has been after Keenan Allen for as long as I've known
him. I have literally been after Keenan Allen. Seriously, that statement is a truth statement. Literally, since I've known you, I've been after Keenan Allen because Russ had him, Outhouse had him for a long time.
Yeah, I traded for him like two or three rounds into the startup draft.
Yep,
I traded for Keenan Allen, and ever since, yep,
yeah.
So you got Keenan Allen, you traded away Corey Davis, 2 19 firsts and a 19 second. So let's start out, Andrew. What do you think of this value wise?
I think. You definitely came out ahead on that, Brian. It's at least for win now. Davis might develop into a top receiver in the league, and he's shown bits and pieces of that. And I guess it all depends on what this draft picks turn into. It's kind of like the Khalil Mack trade in the NFL that looks really, really bad right now. But if Oakland nails two picks, then they might get the last laugh. Same thing. I mean, I personally wouldn't have done it, but I mean, if you're going to win now and the other person's in a rebuild, I mean, that's, like I said, lottery tickets.
Yeah, I agree. I think this does favor you, Brian. But again, there was a bit of, again, I use the word argument on Twitter, but it's Twitter, so it's never real. But it was brought up that, you know, why would you trade away these studs and just not get studs back? The reality is, if you need to rebuild, which we just talked about, is a need that you will have in a dynasty league. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck in the middle. And that's the worst place to be in a dynasty league. You need to sell some stuff. You need to sell good pieces to get good pieces. And yeah, Corey Davis, I mean, I'm still super high on Corey Davis. I know you are, Brian.
For sure.
So that to us, that's a very good piece. 219 firsts in a very high, no, very heavy wide receiver class. And what do you build around? Wide receivers.
Right.
So to me, yeah, the value, I'm pissed off about this because this is the league I was crushing. And now Brian just actually got me a little scared. by the way, I just looked it up, 76% to 24% Keenan Kelsey side, which I guess that's,
you're gonna get that strong with the names though.
Yeah, absolutely. But this isn't a bad trade for Aaron. It's exactly what he needs. And again, if he not even like hits on studs on these picks, if he gets dependable players out of those picks, then he's building a team, and that's what he needs to do. So I like this trade from an outsider's perspective. As a league mate perspective, I hate this trade.
Yeah, so this actually started, it's funny. I'm the reason, I think, well, not I'm not the reason, but Aaron and I actually, as soon as games ended last night and MFL flipped the week over. Mm-hmm. So it was like 12:30 in the morning. I sent him a trade for Keenan Allen. And just because I hadn't gone after him for several weeks, and I just was like, well, what the hell? I'll just throw something out and see if we can get talking. Because this is one thing, too, that I'll say, and I'll give Aaron another shout out here. So at FF Obscene, he's one of the best owners I've ever worked with when it comes to trade talks. I mean, I think this is the third or fourth deal in that league that I've made with him, and every time it's been super, it's just been really nice to work with him. You know, Outhouse, one of the things that you and I have talked about is how much easier it is when you can communicate with somebody and have an understanding of what it is they're trying to do, and they have an understanding of what it is you're trying to do. And I think Aaron and I have developed that over the course of the time that we've been in Trade Addicts too. I mean, he's just a really good owner to deal with. And you know, we have both come out of every single trade that we've done together, regardless of what Twitter polls have said, because we've both lost big on Twitter polls, but we both, I think, have felt really good about the deals we're making in relation to the teams that we have. So again, Aaron, thank you. I mean, I hope you take that as a compliment, because I mean it as nothing but a compliment. But yeah, I mean, this deal, I think, made sense for both of us. I mean, he's going into rebuild. The season hasn't kind of started the way that he thought with his team. And these are probably his two best pieces. So, you know, but you have to give to get. And we've talked about that before too. And I think that's exactly what he did here. And, you know, when he brought in Corey Davis into the deal, I was talking mostly picks, because I've acquired a lot of firsts in this league, and I've been trying to move them and haven't had a lot of success. So, you know, I was trying to do that. And then when he came back with Davis, I was like, okay, this is getting serious now. So let's talk, you know. And then I also knew that he had some other players that he was willing to sell. So I thought, okay, how can I take the next step and get that Kelsey added into the deal? Because I could definitely use him. So we just had a real good conversation. It didn't take super long. I mean, I think our conversation probably took a half an hour, and it wasn't probably 5 minutes after he announced that he was selling guys that the trade went through. So, But yeah, I mean, this is a deal I think that made sense for his team. You know, he got some assets that he can build with. And for me, it gives me two solid guys that I feel like I can count on to make a push. And I needed this. I have a pretty good team in this particular league. And but you know, I'm not deep enough to survive weeks where my studs don't perform. So acquiring these two guys kind of helps with that. So gives me the possibility of surviving those weeks when some other guys that I typically rely on don't perform the way I think they're going to. So again, this was a good deal. It was a good negotiation. I felt great about it. I know Aaron did too, because we spoke about it afterwards as well. And it was a good deal. It was fun. It was a fun way to kick off the morning. I think the deal was done by 9:30. So that's awesome when you start your day with a deal like that. A big blockbuster deal like that. That sets the tone for the day. I think I've sent like 17 other offers today because it got me excited about it. So
yeah, I sent 17 offers out of jealousy. So I feel it. All right. Well, that's the end of our show sheets. That's the end of our show. It's been like an hour and a half, and it did not feel like it.
No, that went by fast.
That was a good one. You did good.
Can I get quick feedback on a trade I did?
Yes, absolutely.
I pulled off a biggie last week. I had in the league, it's a three-person keeper. I had three running backs, Mixon, Freeman, and Kamara. So last week, I'm sitting pretty. Well, I've been trying to get Michael Thomas everywhere. Every league can't get him anywhere. Mm-hmm. So this league, it was the only one I hadn't tried it. I was like, well, let's see who has a Michael Thomas. And I click on the team. It's the second to last place team. I was like, ooh. I said, we got a seller. And so I messaged the guy. And I said, hey, I'm going to be straight with you. I want Michael Thomas. And it's the best guy on this team. And he goes, okay. And I want Kamara. I said, what about Joe Mixon? And I quote, he's cannon fodder. I don't want him. I was like, okay then.
What does that mean?
I think he's just worth lighting on fire and having him shot out of a cannon, essentially.
He runs like he's shot out of a cannon.
Exactly. Yeah. So I tried to do Freeman. He didn't want to do Freeman. And I had deeper receivers. So I said, well, what about we throw Galladay in with Mixon or Freeman? And he goes, well, actually, I want Galladay and Kamara for Thomas. And I said, I can't do that one. So he's like, well, what would it take for me to get it then? So I'm looking at his team, and Galladay was my flex. And I see he has James White on the bench. Mm. I said, what about Thomas and White for Kamara and Galladay? He goes, you throw in the Browns defense, and we got a deal. I was like, okay.
First of all, yeah, throw it a defense.
I was like, sure, you can have a defense.
No, that's awesome, especially for the situations both of you are in, because I love Galladay these days, but man, James White can help you win a championship with the way he's playing. And to me, Thomas and Kamara are kind of a push at this point. I mean, I'm hashtag team wide receiver, so I would take Thomas over Kamara, even though Kamara has been insane. Well, I love that deal for you.
He's going to alter his insane stats a little bit, too. And I was 3-2 in that league, so I felt like I could be up there. Mm-hmm. Even at 3-2, I'd score the second most points in the league, so I just needed something. And I think Thomas was going to get me that championship, so I went for it. I'm now 4-2. And ironically, I play him this week. Yeah. So we'll see if the trade bites me this week or not.
Yeah, feel good. It'll feel even better when you beat him with his own player.
Right.
No, I love that trade. I think that was perfect for you. You're going to say something, Brian?
Yeah, no, I think the value is pretty close on that one. I could see going either way with that one. I'm a big Galladay guy, so that would have been tough for me to give him away, especially with Kamara, but you are getting Michael Thomas, who, you know, we've talked about moving up into that elite tier of wide receivers here with OBJ and Nuke Hopkins. So, you know, I mean, when you're going after those guys, you got to give guys to, again, that's a sound like a circus saying that over and over, but, or a recording, but yeah, no, I think it's a good deal. I think it's pretty fair, and you got your guy, and that's the most important thing. So,
Yep.
I like it.
All right. So before I was so rudely interrupted, I was saying that's the end of our show sheet. So that's the end of our show. before we sign off, Andrew, our now good friends, why don't you remind these fine people where they can find you, your work, and your soon-to-be new podcast?
Writing articles for Dynasty Happy Hour, and they can be found at dynastyhappyhour.com, at DynastyHHPod. My Twitter handle is at DHH_Mandrew. And then my podcast, which we'll be recording the first episode for tomorrow, will be covering Devian College football with at FF Peebles. Our Twitter handle for that is at Devi Manual. So when you go back and listen to this, make sure you put it on the half speed so you can catch everything I just threw at you.
Or hold on. At Devi Manual. So when they're listening to it at 1.5, which I've learned is awesome, and people sound weird when you go back to listen to it at normal speed, that'll sound normal to them. So there you go. Rock on. God, that was terrible, and I'm tired. So on that note, good night, Brian.
Good night, Outhouse.
Thanks for bailing us out, Andrew.
Hey, no problem. Like I said, thank my wife. Here, we'll throw her Twitter handle, at LexiHarbaugh15, so you can follow her, too.
Look at this guy, man.
I'm going to do that right now. Yeah, I saw her walk in the background, I think, looking for some laundry at some point, and I was waving, but she didn't look up.
My son was going to bed, so yeah. Matt Miller's brother slid into her DMs already, so it's okay.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
All right, I'm going to bed.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, later.
Thank you, guys.
See you, Andrew.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Har FF. And follow the pod at Trade Addict Pod. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.